Isaiah 58, verses 9 to 14. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of your afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall rise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Luke 13, 10 to 17. I'd gotten used to looking at people out of the corner of my eye, looking up and sideways, never being able to make eye contact with the people I loved, never having them able to make eye contact with me, never having my husband look me in the eye, struggling to look my grandchildren in their eye. After 18 years like this, I could hardly remember any other way of seeing the world. On this particular Sabbath, there was special excitement at the synagogue where I went to worship regularly. A Galilean preacher and prophet, Jesus of Nazareth, had arrived in town and would be teaching there. Others in town had spoken about reports of Jesus, how he talked about God's reign arriving soon and how he healed sick people. I wasn't sure how many of the rumors to believe, but I was just trying not to get my hopes up. My life already had too many disappointments to count, being an outcast like this, not feeling like I belong anywhere, being frowned upon wherever I went, nobody actually seeing me. When I entered the synagogue, the place was abuzz. As Jesus began to teach, however, the room was hushed. Moments later, his words turned from a teaching to invitation. He had caught my eye. No mean feat, given that he had to lean over and incline his head to do so. "Come here," he said to me. And I slowly made my way to the front of the assembly. What happened next amazed the whole congregation. "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When this man, Jesus, spoke those words and put his hands on my broken, bent body, I felt power surge through me. And without hesitation, I straightened my once crooked back and I stood tall and I had nothing but praise for my God. He saw me. He put his hands on my broken, bent body and I was able to praise God again. But after this happened, they started to question him. The leader of the synagogue questioned him. What right did he have to do work on the Sabbath, to heal on the Sabbath? He said, there are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, but not on the Sabbath day. But Jesus, he answered him and he said, you hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And he said, shouldn't I, a daughter of Abraham, he called me a daughter of Abraham, shouldn't I, whom Satan has bound for 18 years, be set free from bondage on the Sabbath? When he said this, everyone there was put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at the wonderful things that he was doing. Wasn't going to sit there. Well, I wonder, do you ever wonder what it's all about? I'm talking about Sunday. Do you ever wonder what the gathering, the worship, the singing, reading, preaching, why we do it? I wonder sometimes if we get so caught up in our week and so caught up that, oh, suddenly it's Sunday, that, oh, it comes every 7 days, ready or not, that we lose sight of what gathering together is really about in the first place and what this idea of Sabbath is about. Now, we can look at some traditional views of the Sabbath and we can think about some legalistic thinking when it comes to the Sabbath, that it has to be on a certain day, that it has to be, for some people, on a Sunday, or for others, that it has to be on a Saturday. We can look at ideas that we can't sell things in church on the Sabbath. I remember when I was growing up that if we sold things in church on the Sunday, that was a big no-no. I don't know about anyone else. I remember that specifically. But the Sabbath wasn't established as a legalistic rule by God. It was meant to be a day of rest. And if we look at the origin of the word Sabbath, it comes from the Hebrew. I can't even pronounce my H's today. It comes from the Hebrew word, sabbat, meaning to rest from labor. And if we look in the Bible and we look at the Genesis story and how God created the earth, and then on the seventh day, he rested to take delight in all that he had made. Has anybody heard of the idea of Jubilee? A few people have. You know how the earth was made?
Yes. Yep.
Two asteroids bumped into each other. That's, yeah. Look, there's lots of different interpretations of how the world was made. Not too long ago. The Big Bang Theory, there's lots of different ways. In the Bible, we believe that God created the earth. How he did that, we don't know. But we believe that God created the earth and he created the animals and he created us. Ah, there you go. There's lots of different ways, lots of different ideas out there. Well, I want to talk about this idea of Jubilee. If you've heard this word before, I think actually, is there a dessert called Chocolate Jubilee? I think there is. At the Pancake Parlor. If you go to the Pancake Parlor, they have a dessert called Chocolate Jubilee. I'm not talking about that kind of Jubilee this morning. It just popped into my head then. But there's this idea of Jubilee in the Bible. And you can find it in the Old Testament. And it's where people are ordered to, not ordered, but what they have to do is every 49 years, they need to free people from slavery. All debts are wiped. Thank you. That's the word I'm looking for. Sorry. And possession. Yep, land is returned to their original owners. So everything is kind of reset, refreshed. And if we look the idea of Sabbath for the land, every 7 years it was required that they rest the land so that the land receives the rest it needs. And I think about that song that was on before, and it was talking about the rhythms of grace. And it was talking about this idea of rhythm. Are you tired, worn out on religion? Come away with me, it says. In Matthew 11, I'll read it out to you. Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it and learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Keep company with God and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. I don't know about you, but sometimes life does feel heavy. Sometimes it feels like we're laboring in vain, and it's great to be able to be offered a rest from that. I believe that the Sabbath is a day for the fullness of God to reign in our lives, to become who God truly made us to be, and allow that to saturate our souls. A day for everything to be as God has made it. And if you look at that verse in Isaiah, it's about restoring justice. It's about restoring one another. And it's about restoring God to his rightful place in our lives. The Sabbath is both about us and not about us. The Sabbath is both about us and not about us. It's a strange sentence to say that. But God has given us the Sabbath as a day of delectable delight, a day to delight in God and his creation, but also a day in which we don't serve our own interests. We don't pursue our own affairs. We don't do our own thing, but we take delight in what God wants. And if we read it in the Bible, it says that God wants justice. He wants mercy. And so if we look at this story of this woman that was suffering for 18 years, bent over and crippled for 18 years, I believe what God wanted for her was restoration. The leader of the synagogue was saying, no, it's not right to heal on the Sabbath. It's not right to do work on the Sabbath day. He was calling healing work. And I don't believe that this woman's healing was work, but I think it was what God wanted for her. God wants us to experience wholeness. And when one of us suffers, we all suffer. Jump ahead. The Sabbath is about freedom. But I wonder how many people know that. It's not a legalistic day. It's not an obligation that we have to, it's not a day of religious obligation. It's a day of rest, a day of freedom. How many of us know that the Sabbath is about freedom? That coming together on a Sunday and celebrating is about freedom? It's about what we do for God. Sorry, it's not about what we do for God. Sabbath is about what God can do for us and recognizing that what we can do for others. What if Sabbath was remembering how God freed us so that we might free others? What if coming together on a Sunday is about calling to mind the mighty acts of God that we might be encouraged to dare mighty acts ourselves? And what if coming together on a Sunday was a day to remember that God has freed us from death itself so that we don't have to be afraid of anything, that we might share our courage with others? And when I talk about remembering and calling to mind God's mighty acts of freeing, his mighty acts of delivering, his mighty acts of saving, I don't just mean those acts written in the Bible. I'd like us to look around us and remember and lift up those places in our community, those places in our congregation, those places in the Salvation Army where God has been at work, so that we can name God's activity and by naming it, be strengthened in faith. How often do we share our testimony with one another? How often do we share with one another what God is doing in our lives? I don't think we do it often enough. I think it's important that we avoid only talking about captivity and fear, but that we strive to speak of some of the very real things that we're afraid of, some of the concrete and particular things that keep us crippled, bent over, and unable to stand up. I wonder what mighty acts God has done in your life this week. I wonder in your life, where are the points of brokenness that we can call on God to be at work in? How are we feeling crippled and bent over? When we name these things, they lose their power. These negative things, they lose their power over us. Today is a day of freedom, a day of release, a day of deliverance, and in a word, a day of Sabbath. It's a cause for rejoicing, and as Andrew said earlier, it's a happy day. For the woman in our story, she finds a place of belonging. She's not given the label a sinner anymore. But Jesus calls her a daughter of Abraham. She has a place in God's family. And he's saying that each of us have a place in God's family, that it doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter our past or what people have done to us, but that we all have a place of belonging and that God wants to restore us to that place of belonging. See, the woman in our story, she would have been an outcast. They probably would have thought that because she was crippled and bent over, that she was a sinner, that she'd done something to deserve that. But Jesus came to give her freedom. He got down to her level. He met her on her level, saw her in her eyes, looked her in the eyes, touched her and said, "You are free, daughter of Abraham." The Sabbath is a day of experiencing God's freedom. It's a day when we are set free. You know, I find that sometimes we get caught up in this, we get caught up in the rules of perhaps living a Christian life. And I wonder what rules have power over you. Do you have to celebrate the Sabbath on a Sunday? Do you have to celebrate the Sabbath on a Saturday? Do you have to behave before God will accept you? Do you have to be a certain way before you can fit in? I think Jesus says no. I think the main rule that Jesus wants us to follow is the rule of love. That as long as we love God and we love others, that we're living the life that God wants us to live. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. What does it mean for the Sabbath to be holy? God says, "Be holy because I am holy." I believe Isaiah talks about this idea of holiness. If you call the Sabbath delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, you honor it by not going your own way, not by serving your own interests, not by pursuing your own affairs, but by taking delight in God, by looking after those who are hungry, looking after the needs of the afflicted, that when we look out for the needs of one another, the Sabbath day is made holy. I wonder this morning what it is for you that God is saying in this message. Is God talking to you about, you know, the rules that you've put around your life? Is God talking to you about perhaps the thing that's crippling you in your life, the thing that you need freedom from. I'm going to invite the band to come back up this morning, and we're going to sing a song called Cornerstone. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Father's love. You know, whatever is binding us today, whatever is holding us back from truly experiencing the Sabbath, truly finding rest in God, I believe that God wants us to experience release from that. And so this morning, as we sing this song, I want you to experience God's love. I want you to know that God loves you no matter what, no matter if you follow the rules, no matter if you break the rules. This morning, I do have some pictures along the back there. And if you wanted to go and look at those pictures and perhaps look in those pictures for where God wants you to experience freedom in your life, then I encourage you to do that. If you want to come down here to the mercy seat and just spend some time in prayer, then I encourage you to do that. Today is not a day to be bound up by our own fears and anxieties, but it's a day to be released from those. It's a day to experience God's freedom. And so however you'd like to experience that this morning, as we sing this song, do so.